It's like Wolverine had a death wish on Groundhog Day. We saw Bloodshot, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How to Discrepate. We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Can't you know you wonder how to discrepate? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to our very first quarantine edition of How Did This Get Made? I am so happy to be here to talk to you about a movie that recently came out on home video. That's right. This is one of the first quarantine releases. It's a Vin Diesel 2020 film about a soldier who is killed, wakes up, and is more, I don't know, machine than man, but not really machine. Anyway, we'll get into it all, but we'll break it down with my two co-hosts. Please welcome Mr. Jason Mantzoukas. How are you, Jason?
Oh, Paul. Paul, you made me spend $20 on this movie.
20 big
not
ones.
Not only am I trapped in my home, literally trapped in my home, you made me feel even more of a prisoner by forcing me to watch this movie. This was a nuts endeavor, and I'm thrilled to be sitting in my closet at home getting ready to talk to you guys about it.
You just got indoctrinated into VHBO, Vin Home Box Office. That's it. We pay the top prices to see Vin Diesel doing the good work.
Happily, I will pay top dollar to watch. You know what? I might retroactively go back and buy both XXX movies just to have them all.
I mean, you have to complete a collection. And there's one person who loves Vin Diesel more than any of us. Please look at my other co-host who watched this movie separately from me, Miss June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
I'm okay. How are you, Paul?
Very good. How has quarantine been treating you, June?
Well, you know, I think my, as Casey said, my corona persona is pretty positive and trying to just experience like the gifts of not having to worry about my personal health right now or anyone I know. So my corona persona is just like taking it moment to moment, but I feel very grateful.
Will you be doing this episode as yourself or as your corona persona?
My corona mask is on right now.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
And June, I know you like a little Vin Diesel. So how does this rate for you on the Vin Diesel?
So this is interesting. So another thing that's happening with my corona persona is I do need comforts. So I'm not willing to really push myself in any direction. I'm not willing to think that hard. I'm not willing to be stretched right now. I just want
no stretching.
Look,
very
no,
tight.
No, I will not go further than my knee at this point. I don't I start drinking at like 5. I want to be cozy and warm things. I want to look at beautiful people. I just want to
and this is you want to look at beautiful people and that's leading us towards Vin Diesel? Is that what's happening?
You know, I enjoy, I've said it before. I mean, we're back on our bullshit here, but I don't mind him at all. And there's a comfort. So anyway, all of this is to say I was worried about watching this movie tonight because again, I'm going back to basics with my entertainment. I want
right.
things that I can count on during these times. And I was worried that I was going to be pulled in a direction I didn't want to be in and just watching something that was so painful, like so many of these movies have been. It was like coming
back
home.
The longest answer.
This is the most, strangely, the most positive June has ever been about, yeah. I believe, any movie we've ever done.
There's something about his drawl and his slow pace and his lumbering.
Wait, drawl and slow pace and lumbering are all the same thing.
And also not associated with positive traits often.
like, oh, I've fallen in love with the greatest guy. He's very lumbering and very slow paced, and he has the most languid drawl.
I mean, it really speaks a lot about me. You know what? We couldn't do this show properly without our resident Vin Diesel expert. He has joined us for all of the Fast and Furiouses and all of our Vin Diesel excursions. Since Fast 9 has been pushed another year, we couldn't wait. We couldn't wait for that. So we needed to bring back Mr. Adam Scott. Adam, how are you?
Guys, Paul, I'm going to join with Jason in just let's call it an easy protest of the $20 price of admission for this one.
Listen, $20. Adam, okay, but Paul, I know you spoke about this on a mini episode, but we just spent $50 on Ice Age 1, 2, 3, on a bundle package of Ice Age movies.
That's five for 50. I don't mind that. We spent $40 on this movie because June watched it on her account and I watched it on my account. Yeah. So that's $40 out of this household going right to Bloodshot.
I think you guys just doubled the box office of Bloodshot.
Absolutely. You guys don't share an account, an Apple account?
No.
I don't know why we
Paul
don't.
Paul and I keep it's most so of easy. Our...
You keep all that stuff separate.
You
keep all that stuff separate, but you share a Pornhub account. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, that's expensive. Yeah, that's an expensive purchase.
I also share that with Paul and June. And
we're never on so at the same easier. Time.
It's so Pornhub, it's so prohibitively expensive. You should get a group of like-minded friends together and go in if you share the same searches.
Absolutely. All the same fetishes.
I mean, didn't they give out free Pornhub to people in Italy during
They gave it here, too. They did it here, a couple of weeks later when it got really bad here. They did the same thing. I think it was a limited time.
I think just to kind of bring us back to where we were when XXX, when the return of Xander Cage came out, I think we left... kind of enjoying that experience. It felt a little bit like Fast and Furious. And this is definitely Vin Diesel jumping into the superhero market and a character from Valiant Comics that, if you listen to Vin Diesel, is the most popular comic book character in the world. that I have never heard of.
Is that his take?
His take is this is the character that people have been begging to see. Uh-huh. He says it's the number one character.
Wait,
with
this is a character? This
yes.
See, that's that I yeah, looked
I had
it
no
up.
Idea.
I Googled it and I found that it was based on a 13-year-old's wet dream who didn't quite understand how any of the mechanics of anything work.
See, I had heard that as well. So
it seems to me like he was like, I want to be Iron Man. I want to be Wolverine. They're not letting me in on the Marvel Universe to do more than one character. Make me like, let's find that. And they dug through and they found this character from, and he said that he's starting the VCU, the Valiant Comics Universe, because this is a Valiant comic. There's a lot of hashtags of VCU in the Vin Diesel tweets about this or Instagram posts.
Fantastic.
Post. We're starting the VCU. This is supposed to be not only launching multiple movies of this character, but then also other characters. There's like little inside references. This is a whole, this is his Iron Man. And he is launching.
What I was so many ways.
Absolutely. And what I was trying to figure out was, well, and we'll get into it because when they go in and introduce him to the team, quote unquote, you know,
yeah,
all of whom's names I forget except for KT. But when he introduced, when we meet the team.
The thing that upsets me about KT is I feel like they have one woman and they're like, we're not even going to gender her with a woman's name because we're so upset that she's here. Like, we're going to give her letters.
But also, why make such a big deal over those letters?
Right. Like, yes.
Oh, it's absurd.
But
it's
also,
absurd.
Why make such a big deal about that team? Because the best as I can tell, they are only there as actors to incentivize him to repeat the same cycle over and over and over again. They're not they're not a team that seems to be going out and doing missions of their own. They're only there to play a part. Right?
And I mean, they all end up being bad guys. Like, antagonists, but also uninteresting antagonist.
It's a tricky movie because essentially what we find out, and you see this in the trailer of the film, Vin Diesel is being manipulated to kill people that he thinks has killed his wife. But we find out in the movie, he's just killing a technology company's competition. So it's like Google created this man to like take down Ask Jeeves. Like, I mean, that's like, if you were to like really.
Yeah. I mean, I thought.
But it's his former partners, right?
Sorry. Yeah.
Is it? Oh, yes.
No,
you're right.
I
yes.
think
okay,
it is
yes.
his former partners, but there's yes. just so many of them. But the thing about that team is I thought, because I had the same thought, Jason, like, why are they here? And then I thought, oh, maybe they were, or this could have happened. I just wasn't paying attention. But were they early prototypes? Like he was trying to get all of them to be like Vin Diesel's character. And then they were just sort of demoted to actors.
Well, I think that like for sure, I think they are. You know, enhanced, right? Because, yeah. you know, when Guy Pearce is giving him, Guy Pearce is the kind of main science guy who has brought, you know, the cold open of the movie is Vin Diesel is some sort of either a Marine or, he's on a mission in the military, you know, and he goes it alone. They're like, wait for backup. And he's like, fuck it. And he kicks the door down. And in typical Vin Diesel fashion, he kills every single person instantly, single shots everybody. He's just like, he's already superhero, right?
That's the
right.
thing.
He is not, it's like he doesn't have any growth. Like the only thing that he gets is that he can get shot multiple times. Like the addition is he could just now get shot. I mean,
give him basically a healing factor. But the thing that's so interesting about it is like, so let's comp him against Steve Rogers, right? Mm-hmm. So Steve Rogers, too weak to join the military. So he goes through the super soldier program and becomes Captain America, right? There's he has to go from somewhere to somewhere.
Right.
Vin Diesel
is there is essentially no change whatsoever in his invincibility.
Yes, he's basically starts the movie as Superman and becomes immortal.
Well, but here's the thing. Let's even like walk back to the beginning of this movie because first of all, one of the benefits of spending $20 on this purchase, not even a rental, it's a purchase. Now it's in my library, is that
$40 in total. Yeah. $40 for our household.
Yes, our household spent money on this.
Because you don't share an Apple account, which is flummoxed.
We should look into that. I don't know why that is.
I don't want Paul seeing all of my purchases. Thank you.
A lot of Bravo.
There's certain things I need to do there that.
And do your children have their own accounts as well that they're all buying on? Right.
Like had to pay $50 for all of the Ice Ages.
I don't think you guys know how this works.
June is so upset because June does not have a Disney Plus icon. We have a Disney Plus account and June does not have an icon in our Disney Plus account because we feel that June is not a viewer of Disney Plus as much as me and the two kids are. So
she hasn't earned an icon.
Earned an icon.
I didn't know you were supposed to make an icon.
Oh, yeah. You can have your own icons. Yeah.
You can choose whatever character you want.
I'm going to make June my icon.
I appreciate that.
So when I'm at my house watching Disney Plus, June, it'll be with you. You and I will be watching it together.
Thank you.
I have a quick question just before you go to the beginning. Did you guys all know that this turn was coming, this twist in the story?
No. I did not.
Okay. Neither did I.
I did because I saw the trailer.
So it's in the trailer. That's what I was going to say. It's in the trailer.
The trailer like aggressively lays out the premise of the movie. And the premise of the movie, it really does because it's not a very layered film. So by revealing that, that's the only twist that you got. Like there's not more. Yeah. So that was a bummer. I was going to say the one benefit of buying it was within the first 30 seconds, I was able to pause it just to see how long the movie was. I was like, oh, hour 48, not bad. Like, I can get through this. Like, I felt like it would have been, I was expecting it to be about 2 hours and 13 minutes, and I was very pleasantly surprised.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you think, now maybe I might be about to be revealing that I'm very naive. Is the opening battle scene real or is it a fake memory as well?
It's fake.
I think it's fake.
So is there no real scene in the movie? Everything.
Not until he wakes up, right?
That's what I mean. So there is no, we don't see him in the real world ever, right?
I don't think so.
Until
she says that's a simulation when she goes into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
which I guess makes the assassination of his wife and the murdering of him more palatable, because I was like, this is insane. But now that I know it's a simulation, I give it a little bit more. I'm like, okay, that's fine. That seems like it was written by somebody writing a video game, like dancing to Psycho Killer, you know, this guy.
See, the funny thing is, I was writing down every single one, like the montage in Italy, getting gelato and the dancing bad guy, like all that stuff. I just thought I was watching a dumb Vin Diesel movie. So when it took the turn, I thought that was exciting, because then it's like,
very much so.
Oh, so this is not a dumb Vin Diesel movie, but we'll talk about it later, but once a twist
But are we giving it too much credit? Like, because I think we're putting lens on, like, I think we're putting the lens on going like, oh, they're so smart making it so dumb. But I think like that relationship that he shows with his wife, which feels like a Zales commercial. Like, it's just
they
like,
never kiss. They never kiss. They just passionately hug.
Oh, absolutely. There were some strange moves in this movie that I appreciated. Like, I was surprised during their like lovemaking scene that she was wearing full coverage undies.
Full coverage undies.
Full coverage.
And is only on holding him from behind.
It was like very tame.
Yes.
And it was very covered on her part, which is just like, that's not what you see in a Vin Diesel movie.
Well, except I think this is like, I think this is PG, if not, is it even PG-13?
I think it is PG-13, because the violence, I think, is pretty intense.
Yeah.
Like when that bone is blown out of
They say fuck once, I think.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
PG-13.
Oddly, he says fuck in the romantic scene.
So chaste. It's so chaste.
But
their whole thing, their meeting is even. So here's the thing. So wrap your head around this. So when Guy Pearce and his people are creating the template that he plays back in his head to play out that he loves his wife, so that when she dies, he's incentivized to avenge her murder, blah, blah, blah. They created a PG-13 narrative for him to watch. That's bizarre.
Yes, and that's part of why I was like, oh, this is actually really smart, or at least at first I was, because they even comment like, you had the bad guy dancing in the walk-in freezer. Like, how cliched can you get? So they're kind of calling the movie on its own cliches.
Yeah.
And they let that cliched version go on for like half an hour. So I really thought I was watching a dumb, cliched Vin Diesel action movie. But then after the turn, they never quite turn it into something else. I mean, it's not quite as overtly dumb, but it also doesn't.
I mean, Adam, they
big tonal they, change, really.
And I mean, no, they literally hit a flower truck in one of the fight scenes to make it look like this snowy scene. It's like, this movie is.
Why?
That was ridiculous.
Why? The flower and the flares. There were so many scenes that relied on flares in this movie as well.
Yes. It's like, what are we doing? It's like, but you're right. Like, you want it to look glossy and glitzy and then turn into something that feels real and gritty.
Yeah.
And this is, and, you know, and I feel like that's a cool movie. Like, it's like all of a sudden it feels like it's almost two different directors.
What I'm wondering is, I'm curious, because I do know that this is a comic book. And in the comic book, the character is unnatural looking, right? I think he has like a, I think he his skin is like, I think he looks not human-ish.
More like that final version of him when he was like totally white.
That's, I believe, it.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
With a maybe, okay. And maybe he has like a black circle somewhere on his body.
With
too,
like
I think.
Red eyes, because at the end yes. he had those red eyes.
So yeah, I'm looking at him right here, and I'm going to show it to you, everybody yeah. on the Zoom. You can
exactly.
see.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's it.
He looks he looks a little bit like what's that X-Men character?
Colossus.
Colossus. Yes.
But it's not silver. It's he is white. You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he looks. So I would bet that the comic book is more like a really brutal, violent, vengeance type character.
Yeah.
And that in doing it with Vin Diesel, he was like, no, what I need is a headquarters for the crew because I got to have a crew.
Yeah.
Right.
When they do the intro,
have a crew.
It's always like a hangar. It's like an yeah. empty hangar. When they walk yes. in, and that dude who's got the leg prosthetics is yes. running on a treadmill. The treadmill sits alone in the middle of yes. the entire room, as if it's like, why would you put just a single treadmill in the middle of a giant room?
My whole thing is, why are these guys exercising? Like, why is Vin Diesel at one part in the movie lifting weights? Like, you don't need to. You got the robot body. Like, you don't need to exercise when you got that robot body.
It was just a full scene of where we watch Vin Diesel work out.
Yes.
But he
with fake veins. They have put fake vascularity on practical. It's not done in post. It's poorly glued fake veins they've put all over his arms. It's crazy.
Because that's what's so weird is like you actually really don't need a soldier to do this. Like you could put any old, I mean, I guess that's your point, Jason, too. Like you put any old person in a box and send them to whatever.
Is he a soldier?
Spot. Yeah. And they pop out and that's it.
That's a fun, more fun movie, too.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine that movie. Imagine that movie where the guys who are supposed to go and grab Vin Diesel, who's a super badass soldier, instead grab me. And then they give me all of these nanites or whatever. And then I'm running around trying to figure out what I'm supposed to be doing. Great movie.
It's totally. It's like Young Frankenstein meets Bourne Identity.
You were talking earlier about like Iron Man, Wolverine. I think also maybe Vin Diesel at one point, I don't know, I'm just watching this movie made me think maybe at one point he was going to be the new Terminator, because there are some Terminator vibes. Even the music, when he starts like feeling his invincibility, it's Terminator music. Also, The Matrix is really present.
It's a crazy movie. It's like, because it is, it's like, give me every, it's like, I want to take one aspect of every great superhero film and let's just jam it in here. And I don't think oddly, it doesn't not work. I mean, it's a fun movie. It's just like, but it's hard to grab onto. It's like sort of like, I don't care about it.
Well, it doesn't amount to anything. Like, it's one of those movies where I watched it and I was like, again, there was a sense of comfort and there was a sense of just, you know, these are pleasing moments to sit through, but there's no, it equates to very little. There's no past that you care about, and there's nothing you're hoping for when he sort of makes this realization and returns to himself. Like, I don't know what's to become of him. I don't care about that woman, that poor man's Michelle Rodriguez. I mean, to me, that was crazy. Like, she looks... Did anyone else think she looks so much like her?
KT,
didn't occur to
KT?
Me. It didn't occur to me, but you're right.
I thought she looked so much like her, but did not have her grit.
She is part of the Fast and Furious family as well. She was in Hobbs and Shaw, Elisa Gonzalez. She's also in Baby Driver. June has not seen Hobbs and Shaw yet because she was a delinquent for that episode.
Oh,
June, this is a good quarantine watch. You would like that.
But it's what Hobbs and Shaw. Okay, this movie lacks what the Fast and Furious movies have, and Hobbs and Shaw and everything have going for them, which is antagonists. Right. Mm-hmm. We understand that Vin Diesel is the good guy, quote unquote. Although if you think about it, in reality, he is a villain because he is the killing tool of a corporation. He's no kind of, he's not a government hero assassin. When you realize that the guy he's just killed didn't, in fact, kill his wife, yes. was just an ex-business partner of, what's his name?
Tony
Guy Pierce.
Yeah.
So he's just out there executing on a super high-end level, vengeance hits. It's basically like if Zuckerberg created Superman and was like, go kill the Winklevoss twins.
Well,
that's what the movie is. There's no bad guy. Even Guy Pierce isn't a villain. He's not trying to take over the world. He's not. I didn't know what we were fighting against or for. Yeah. Or.
Well, that's how I felt about when he's fighting the robot legs, man. I'm like, why do I care about this? Like, they're both the same side of the coin. Like, they're like, he's the robot legs guy is no worse than Vin Diesel, ultimately.
Right.
I mean,
and why is he fighting Vin Diesel? Like, why are those guys following this guy's orders? I thought they all were like cynical about working at this place.
Well, I don't know if it's that they're, if his legs would not work without.
Right.
That technology, I mean, because she can't breathe without it. With her, like, by the way, I love that she had like a statement necklace as her respirator device. Like, it was amazing.
Yeah. Also, correct me if I'm wrong, but so her whole thing is she can't breathe. She breathes through a device that is in, you know, kind of just below her. Just above her chest, kind of in her throat area.
Yeah.
She breathes through a thing that Guy Pierce can control. There's this whole scene where Vin Diesel is sitting in like a window seat that looks into a swimming pool where she does like water ballet on the bottom of a pool floor. So then I was like, oh, she's the Aquaman of the team.
She can breathe underwater.
She can breathe underwater. Turns out never comes into play.
No.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, the villain thing
that's just fun.
Is you're right. Like we needed, because again, the cleverness of the first act of the movie being fake, and them commenting on how cliched that first villain is, but then they never introduce an interesting villain. Guy Pierce is always great, but you needed to subvert the villain if you're going to set one up as a cliched joke at the beginning. The villain needs to be like extra great, if that's what you're going to do. And then,
but I think no one can outshine Vin. That's I think I understand.
Yeah,
about
probably
Vin Diesel in his movies. It's like he does not want that extra heat. Where I will say, like someone like The Rock, it's constantly putting himself next to people that are maybe even better than him or whatever. Like he'll put himself next to Kevin Hart or he's up for a challenge of let's kind of vie for this scene.
Yeah, yeah.
And, no, and Guy Pierce is... Yeah. We know this from the Fast and Furious movies where he won't lose a fight. He won't every, you know, he has to always come out on top. He has to, like, he can't be hurt. He can't be, and this just doubles down on that. Like, not only everybody is powerless to him, but there are no, like, it's not unlike a video game or something where you are leveling up both in your powers and in the powers of, you know, each subsequent villain or boss is more hard to beat than the last. That's not the case. So, like, once we kill who we think is the first bad guy, the guy that's dancing in the freezer truck, right? The first guy. Then he goes, he finds him, he kills him. That's the reveal that, that's not the case. And what we watch the hacker guy do is clickety-clackety on his computer, and all they do is face swap the guy we just killed for another actor who is an actor, an Icelandic actor I just did a movie with who is hilarious. The guy with the big beard, Johannes Johansson, who's great. But they just swap his face on. And now, you know, the same thing is going to play out. There's no new. It's not like, OK, you beat this guy. This guy's going to be even harder to beat. Nope, not the case. There is no evolution.
Yeah, there's never that moment where he realizes, too, what he's done and what he's being tasked to do. There's never a clear moment where he realizes and is confronted with it. And also when he goes to the door of who he thought was his wife, and which is actually an interesting scene, and well played by her and him as well. But then there's no like, that's it though. There's no like, this is what his real past was. Like, that's what that door is opening to, is for us to get some stakes in what life he was pulled from. But they don't even...
No idea.
There's no effort to dig into that at all.
Well, here's the thing. I like, when you first introduce him to this world, he wakes up in this crazy, like, sci-fi bed. They immediately get him a black V-neck shirt because they know that that's what he's comfortable in. they were ready to give him these V-neck shirts without a problem. And he comes down and they're explaining high level technical stuff to him. Like, this is what you're doing. This is what your body's made up of. And he has a smirk on his face like, these fucking eggheads. These fucking
guys. Not only that, like, he's
not even...
unfazed.
Unfazed.
He's unfazed by his own death. He's unfazed by the what his body is now capable of doing. He's every step of the way, he's unimpressed by what is unquestionably the most impressive things you've, like, they have brought him back from the dead.
He literally has a shit-eating grin on his face, like, and it's like, and this is the real world. And then even when you see him, like, when he's starting to work out the first time, like, he punches a punching bag, his hand goes through, and then, like, he's like, let me hit the foundation of this building. And he starts, like, literally punching the foundation
of
the building.
He's punching, like, a load-bearing column.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm like, what can I connect to with this character? Because now, like, he doesn't take in the reality of it, and he's a fucking idiot. Like, if he is a war hero, why would you, like, he's not trying to escape. It's not like he's trapped in the building, he's trying to knock it down. He literally's like, man, let me punch this, punch this load-bearing thing.
He's just seeing how strong he is. Maybe this spot is where I should test that out. Also, when he wakes up and they ask him, what do you remember? And he can't remember anything, or he can barely remember his name. I loved watching Vin Diesel playing having a blank mind. It was a great moment.
I mean, that's the thing about Vin, is like his performance of himself. I think this is honestly, and I may ask you to cut this part out, Paul, but if I'm like to really get honest with myself about why I enjoy him so much, it's that his performance, the person of his own masculinity, is so transparent and it's so obvious that I find it actually endearing. That there's something about what he's dropping into and how he feels he needs to, you know, present as a man and what that looks like and what that should sound like. And
But it's all externals.
Hilarious.
But that's what it is. It's all externals. It's not coming from within. It's not like, it's all the external things that are manly, right? Muscles. Right. Deep voice.
There's no overcoming anything.
It's performative masculinity. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
There's no responsibility to learn about and take stock of.
Oh, God, no. But there's something about Vin, the person, where when I see him doing all those things, there's something about it that I'm like, oh, Vin, there you go again, you know? And
He's a constant, he's an enigma. It's like when he does get fed up with the world, he's like, I'm gonna go take a nap. And like, you know, that like that's the most emotion that he gives. Like, oh, like, you know, if Hugh Jackman, when he like the inner turmoil of Wolverine is so kind of volatile and everything. And this character, and this guy's like, I'm gonna take a nap. And then he goes up to take a nap and he's like, hey, you spared no expense on this room. Like, and his mindset is like, I don't have a nice enough room.
Right.
Because he can never as a man have the vulnerability of not knowing.
Right.
Like, that's also what he attaches manhood to.
Yeah. He never has to suffer or be vulnerable, to your point, June, in order to then earn or overcome. He is capable from beginning to end.
Yes.
And that is never once questioned.
It's almost Trumpian in its,
yes,
you know, stubborn sort of all-knowing.
Think about this. Guy Pearce and the whole team, right? Every time he kills someone and they reset him, they have to go through that whole performance again, where they wake him up, they tell him that he died, they introduce him to the idea of the nanites. KT has to say what she has to say. They do the walkthrough of the gym and they all say those same things. Then KT does the water dance. She says, let's have a drink. They play Psycho Killer so that he has the flashback and remembers himself. Then they have to fake, be like, where are you going? Where you have to come back? All of that is fake.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah. Which is interesting.
Yeah.
They have to pay all of those people to keep performing. Those people should be doing real jobs.
Right.
But there is something that I think this movie misses out on.
Well, they kind of are, right?
I guess they are.
Facilitating a murderer, I guess.
Yeah. For whatever reason.
The thing that I miss is, like, I would like to see it again. Like, what makes Groundhog Day so great is those subtle variations. I mean, there's so much going on in Groundhog Day, but, like, you only see it once and it's alluded to that it's happened again, right? Like, you just see, like, quick clips of it. Like, oh, so there's no deviation. It's exactly the same. How boring is that?
The other one it reminded me of is Live, Die, Repeat. Whatever it was,
Tom Cruise one, yeah.
The Tom Cruise movie.
Tomorrow.
But, and that, again, also has that video game kind of feel to it where he dies, wakes up at the same moment. But you understand his goal, and you understand throughout the movie that even though he continues to die and be reawoken in this event, he is getting closer. He is trying to change the outcome.
He's doing something, yeah. I mean,
and he's changing on the inside as well.
Yes.
What was that Jake Gyllenhaal movie?
On the train, like not Time Code, but
Enemy.
Yeah, that was
That was terrific.
Yeah. I really liked that movie a lot. That was really cool.
Again, it's sort of borrowing from even that.
Source code.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like that. But like what this movie lacks is an awareness of his situation until the end. And again, there's no vulnerability. Like even when he escapes, he just gets in a truck. You don't like, okay, like he's, that truck is waiting for, I guess it all makes sense. I don't know. It's just a weird movie to have no vulnerability at all. And when he finds out, he's not even that mad. It's really KT who is KT is kind of the protagonist.
She's
totally, yeah. They put it all on her for any sense of justice, any sense of emotional,
having a conscience.
Everything emotional is put on the female character.
Well, because he doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't really do much, I suppose, to get himself out of it and to stop this from happening again.
Not really. It's just more vengeance. It's vengeance on top of vengeance.
And then, you know, I think that they kind of missed an opportunity, too, because when he goes to see his wife, like he was married to her, but then they got a divorce. So like that's also like an odd thing, because it's like, well, all right, so that first scene isn't real. So then he meets this woman that he was married to. So we don't even know that relationship. I think it would have been more fulfilling if he saw her in the street and was like, oh my God, I'm alive. And she's like, I don't even know who you are.
I have a question, because I was confused by this. Who does Lamorne represent in this movie?
Wait, who's Lamorne?
Lamorne is Lamorne Morris, who's the IT guy.
The guy who is hacking into Guy Pearce's stuff and hacking. He's like, seems to be against the corporation, and KT teams up with him to kind of give him access in the van.
Right.
But I couldn't tell who is he. Who's he working on behalf of?
He was working on the behalf of the other, like the old partner of Guy Pierce. Oh, okay. He was his IT guy.
And they held him hostage. Like, he's now hostage to just keep on doing tech stuff. And he's like, I'm going to, you know, he makes the EPM or whatever, the EMP.
Okay.
You know, so he's this kind of like, he's literally captive to just create tech.
Okay,
miss why Guy Pierce wants to, is it just to sell this to the highest bidder? Is that it? Was there any other?
Is he pursuing, immortality? Is he pursuing invincible super soldiers? Is he, is the goal?
And so he never had cancer.
I assume he did because of that arm.
And no, but then he said later on, like, oh, when we do this again, I'm not going to be a tennis player. I'm going to be something else. Like,
oh,
every
I missed
time
that.
His story changed.
Oh. Why does he love acting so much? Why is he a villain?
I mean, all of these people just want to perform, I guess.
This is a
They're
community
an acting troupe.
Because I bought it, I watched all the special features, and one of the deleted scenes, the KT character does go on another audition to see if she can get in a movie. She has a headshot and a resume, and she goes.
They go to elementary schools and do Shakespeare.
Yeah.
They do a great version of Love Letters, KT and Guy Pearce.
They're a touring repertory company.
Did anyone else notice that? So in the main control center where Guy Pearce is, where the tech guy is, where like the rest of the team is, did anyone else notice there's the main people we see, our main tech guy, and then there's like 10 other people
that
populate who this is one thing I did appreciate about the movie. Like, I thought KT's costumes were really cool. They were like athleisure, but sort of like these blacks and navies. And I was like, I thought the design of it, like the way they looked was really interesting. And then they had these other
like
people
lackeys
who were in like, just like office wear.
Yeah.
It looked like, I noticed that too. Like, there's especially one woman who looks a little bit like Phyllis from The Office.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, you've literally just taken people who may have auditioned for The Office, you put them in there, and they just kind of give these odd looks. Cause like when KT blows up the building, they just kind of like look at her. It's like, talking about masculinity, that movie does have like this funny runner of this guy who has a 6-inch penis. And KT's like, a 6-inch penis, it's not big enough.
And the guy's like, wait, that's not true, right? She's not being serious, right?
And then he goes to Guy Pearce and he's like, can you do this for one of my other body parts? And then everyone walks in the middle of it. Is that what happened?
One of those women who, again, looks like she's like a temp at like an insurance agency. I mean, she is just not dressed the same way as everyone else.
Yeah.
At one point, Guy Pearce, I feel like they're trying to get a tracker on Vin Diesel or whatever, and he yells at a guy and he's like, Eric, just get it done. And I was like, who's Eric?
Who's Eric?
Do I know Eric?
They're all complicit in these murders. Like, it's happening right there. It's not like there's some
and
of
they're
them
not
they're
the military.
Secrets from.
Yeah.
They're not military.
No.
And they're not doing anything else but murder. Like,
it doesn't
seem that there's any other work going on. Like, they're not doing like version 2.0 somewhere.
No.
It's like, we're just focused on murder.
Right.
Murdering these people.
Yes.
It's murder. It is. And it's not murder. Just it's petty vengeance is what it is.
Yeah.
That's so hard to get behind for a movie. It's like, you're just rooting like a company undercutting another company. Who cares?
But that's my other question, is why is he murdering these guys? Because once we go to the second one where we meet what's his name, who's locked in the basement doing tech, why is he killing these guys? Because that guy is the main IT guy for this other ex-partner of his, right?
Yeah.
And he is blown away and has never seen these nanotites or what are they called? The
nanites
nanites. Yeah. He's like, I heard about this. I've heard stories about this, but I didn't think it was real. If he's trying to kill these people, isn't it because they're catching up with him technology wise? And so he's trying to get rid of them before they can go to market first.
I guess. I mean, that's
like, that's the thing was we never hear from any of those other people other than them begging for their lives.
I mean, unless they are all up for similar roles that he is.
Here's the thing. This is a movie in which Guy Pearce uses Vin Diesel to commit petty, just murders
that are
at his whim, to commit crimes. So the whole, every character is a criminal. There are no heroes in the movie, right? Because that's everybody who dies is an innocent. Correct?
Everybody who dies is an innocent.
What did the man do? What did any of those men that Vin Diesel did kill? What did any of them do?
By the way, we never know because we don't even know what to believe in the whole world.
But they didn't do anything he was told they did. They didn't kill his wife. They didn't kill. What did they do? Did they deserve to die? No, I believe them to be innocent, right?
One of them was keeping a prisoner. Which is also weird. It's like, well, why is he doing that? Why is he keeping a prisoner if he's
He was so afraid. He was so afraid that he was going to be killed by, I think, Vin Diesel. Like, so I think he was like, I need to protect myself at all costs. Not that that's any reason to kidnap somebody. I'm not an advocate for kidnapping. I know that
kind of sounds like you are, Paul. It's weird.
Look, but in the quarantine, if you can keep a couple people in the house to, you know, do light housework and laundry and stuff like that, it's just the moment.
Don't worry about it.
No. It's okay, Adam, because we have a lot of toilet paper and stuff. Like, they're fine.
What?
Yeah.
Toilet paper? We have
a crawl space and they can sleep in there. It's warm and everything.
What? You guys.
No, they just come out like just for like lighthouse work. Like,
who's that just ran by in the background? That wasn't one of your children.
June, shut off your Zoom cam, please. Okay. Yeah, please.
Oh my God.
Oh, can I just say one thing too? All right, so by the way, this movie is a low budget movie. It's $45 million in the grand scheme of like big blockbusters and superhero movies. That's small, you know. And so like what I love about this film is they really blew their money on the flower scene where the flower truck turns over and the flares. So much so that in that second fight scene where he kills the guy who is holding someone hostage, most of that fight is on infrared, like in the background.
That's right.
Like you don't see it. It's just on screens. Like
that's
so you're watching someone just watch infrared, not even security cameras.
Yeah.
It's like they didn't even have the money to shoot that. That made me laugh.
There's
so
also
hard. I'm like,
very few people in the movie. There's almost no exterior.
Yep.
There's almost no scenes that take place outside.
That's right.
There's very little exterior stuff. Everything indoors is very sparsely populated.
It's 11 speaking roles. Roughly like that's about the right number.
Clearly shot in Romania or something.
Oh, I'm sure. But I will say this, it did not feel to me small. You know what I mean? It still had set pieces. They still did a good job with what is, you know, quite a lot less money than, you know, any of the similar franchises that, you know, we can talk about being related to it, which cost between $100 and $300 million to make a Fast and Furious or a one of these type of movies.
Well, I think the thing about this movie that's interesting is the director, this guy Dave Wilson, is a video game visual effect guy. So he's done like Halo and Mass Effect and BioShock. So I think they use a lot of that because especially that last fight scene in the elevator shaft. I'm like, this just feels like a video game cutscene or something. Like it looks that way. It doesn't even look like it looks like old CGI or something like that.
Yeah. You know what was cool though was in that flower scene, which by the way didn't make any sense. Like, once he hit them head on, like, why didn't the Toby Kebbell Suburban just turn around and go the other way? They're in a tunnel.
Yeah.
They're just stopped.
He just sits there waiting.
Why not go? Yeah. If the thing would be, if Vin Diesel was smart, he would have sent the truck down empty to crash. Then he would have entered from the other side so that they're trapped between him and the crashed truck. But he leaves them an exit.
They could have turned around and just left.
Or just hit reverse.
His vehicle is destroyed. Did you notice, though, when he steals the jet and then the truck? There's no, it's just both exteriors of both the jet and the truck, and they don't show him driving them on the inside. Yeah. It's
okay,
really
so
weird.
Here's the thing. Here's the question about the jet. So I know you can't hurt him and he's physically very strong, but are we to believe that he's like downloaded all of that information about how to fly the plane?
Yeah, yeah. Like the Matrix. Yeah.
That's like an odd Matrix. Thing because they like his body is made of nanites. That isn't enough. He's also literally a human computer.
That's what I didn't understand. Like how are those nanites affecting like putting information from the world inside of his brain? He doesn't actually use that intelligence really in other ways throughout the movie.
He only does it to track the cars.
He's not like speaking other languages. He's not like inputting massive amounts of knowledge.
Again, very interesting possibilities.
There. He could immediately figure out Guy Pearce's whole thing and 100%. Go to war with Guy Pearce as a result. That's the movie. The movie should be he sees something he shouldn't, which gives him this idea of, oh, this is all artifice. The guy I think is my ally is my enemy, and use the guy's tech against him. That is the far superior movie. It is called Upgrade.
Upgrade is so good.
The movie Upgrade is fucking fantastic. Yeah. I can't speak highly enough about this movie. It's so good. It's Logan Marshall Green, is that his name? I think it is.
I saw Upgrade. Upgrade's awesome.
And it's so the same thing. A guy, an eccentric billionaire tech, guy offers this guy a deal. I can upgrade your body to basically be a superhero type person, except it's not a superhero movie. The tropes aren't superhero movies. The tropes are like Taken or some relentless, Charles Bronson movie or something. It is just a brutal attack on the infrastructure of what has made him this way. That movie, I think, is terrific.
But you're totally right. And I'm just thinking about this, and I guess we've already said this, but it is crazy that even Vin Diesel's motivation when he wakes up is, I need to kill the person who killed my wife. And then it's not like, oh, you're going to do a job that is for the greater good. The only job he does is vengeance. So he's doing vengeance. Yeah. The guy who's controlling him is doing vengeance. Like, so there's no twist. It's not like, oh, I thought I was doing good by killing this guy. It's like, no, you just were getting vengeance. It's so dumb.
That's
so
why I think they had the hacker character imprisoned is so we wouldn't feel so bad about him murdering the guy upstairs. I can't see any other logical reason to have him imprisoned. Why not just have him be the IT guy working for this guy?
But Tony Keeble, like that character, that Max Axe character, whatever his name is, like he also is not, he's nothing. He's holding no one captive. And we feel like they don't do a good job of saying like, what? Like, yeah, it's weird. It's so weird.
I think they can't. This movie suffers from, if they gave us more information, it would show that the movie is bad. It would expose the weaknesses of the movie if they were to say, give you more in, if they were to let any of those other characters have a monologue to Vin Diesel to say, hey, this is what's going on. If they even had that, the whole thing, it's a house of cards,
It's a can of worms, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, my favorite monologue off in this movie is, and I don't remember all the lines, like, people like you are. And then he's like, well, people like you are. And it's like, and then, well, yeah, but people like you. They basically use people like you in four interactions back and forth.
Oh, boy.
Really, like, that was the real head-to-head moment.
There were a couple of performances I really enjoyed, and I love there was fun stuff in here. Enjoyed the introduction, the first time we see the first fake villain who we think is the real villain, and it is psycho killer is playing and they're in a meat locker and he's going to be tortured. And like, I thought, I was like, oh, this is fun. This is, I'm enjoying the, and what you, and then you realize, oh, because they created it to feel like it was a movie. You know, and it was cliched in its, you know, they're critical of those beats. But I still thought, even still, I'm enjoying that element of it, you know?
Yes.
I mean, this movie goes down super smooth. And it's like, I was enjoying the entire thing. It's only when you look back at it and you're trying to break it apart that you're like, oh, it makes no sense. But I told June, because she watched it after me, I was like, you'll have no separate problem account. Watching this. Yeah, a secret account. You'll have no problem watching it. And it is true. Like, it is a fun. I had fun watching it. I mean, give the guy a forklift arm. Let's do it. Let's go.
You know what was awesome was that the flower in the tunnel scene when he's just when it just shifts into slow-mo for a full like 3 minutes, him walking towards them in slow-mo, taking all the fire and absorbing it all, and then what he does to those dudes, and it ends with the guy just being thrown into the back of the truck. That was all terrific.
I love when he gets like shot in the face and the bone from his jaw comes out. Like, I mean, I didn't quite understand the final fight scene when he turns white and fights Guy Pearce. I didn't quite understand going on there and why. And then, and I thought
body, because he was dying.
I think it was because he was heating up.
I actually am not quite sure what happened to him.
What was glowing in...
Me neither. Because he was out of nanobites or whatever. Yeah. And then he blew himself up. So it killed them both. But then he wakes up and they're like, you're all good.
Yeah, it's like, what did they use? Did they use like a little... Like, did they go in the scoop up the nanobites? But he didn't have nanobites. Yeah. It's like, did he use that little thing that he put in the cup?
I think Lamour was working on something. Yeah.
They tried to shoot him with a bomb thing, right? They shot him with one bomb and it worked, right? But it didn't kill him yet. So they shot him with another, but the nanobites went out and grabbed that bomb and deconstructed some component of it, but left the warhead element so that when he blew it up, it would only hurt Guy Pearce because...
Why?
Because Guy Pearce is still human except for his arm.
But also, how could he not have nanobites left because he was whole again by the time he revealed that he had the bomb? He was all reconstructed. But I thought that the nanobite reading said zero.
I mean, that was a little
maybe
fast
a
and
delay.
Loose. I mean, I don't know. Because it's also like, it feels like he would have no skin left. I don't know. I don't know what these nanobites do.
It's probably an ND, a nanobite.
I mean,
delay.
Listen, sometimes my nanobite's down on a cookie and it hurts her tooth. But I think what we need to figure out is...
Yeah, so here's the question I have. So at the end, at the very end, what's happening in his bloodstream? His body is just back to basics?
Well, they said early in the movie that he doesn't have blood. The nanites are his blood.
Right.
Right.
So at the end of the movie, he still has nanites in him.
He must? But if I'm Guy Pearce... And I put nanites in Vin Diesel and it works. Why aren't I immediately putting nanites in myself and anybody else?
Right.
Why doesn't it? I don't get it. Like it works. Here's the thing.
I think you must be close to dead. I mean, I do think he was a soldier that was not claimed, right?
Yes,
that's how
they got his body.
I think that's true. I think you have to maybe have bled out or not have blood in your full... Like, I don't think they could
vampire
do that.
Style?
What's that?
Vampire style?
Yeah, like, I think you can't have that amount of nanites if you're just, like, walking around. They can't just start pumping your blood with it. I thought
right,
that's what
they
were
explaining.
Right, you
have to be depleted of life
force. Well, I mean,
they could probably take it.
But they also do that thing where they shoot that little shot into his hand. Maybe like the nanites come in and wipe out the blood, or that table is there to suck up the blood. I don't quite understand that, like that futuristic table either. that he's on.
But
I
so
don't
at
know.
The end, though, so he's just living like a domestic life now with those nanites in him.
Yeah, they also say you never have to recharge again. You're all good.
Yeah, it like takes away any conflict.
Are they solar?
And it KT just feels bad. That's it. She just feels bad that they keep mind wiping him and using him for another senseless murder. She's just like, why won't you let the guy rest? You know, that's basically her thing.
Yeah.
There is something, though, and this is what I can't get to the bottom of, and I'm sure people will comment on this. Why KT and the two other people in the crew, they have a certain amount of nanite technology, but not as fully as Vin Diesel. So like Vin Diesel has been they were at one point trying out for Vin Diesel's role. They didn't get it. Vin Diesel now is the star. So I think they're a little jealous. Like I could have been Bloodshot. The technology didn't meet me. So I think maybe Robot Legs is like, fuck, man, that was my job was to be the vengeance man. And now this guy's gonna get all my attention.
See, that's interesting. Lead. And if that was clear, that would be cool.
Yeah.
I feel like they just manufactured that guy, the prosthetics legs guy, hates Vin Diesel. They didn't explain any of it. I think they just needed someone to be a bad guy. I think they just needed somebody to be a dick because everybody else in the movie is like technically benign.
Fine.
You know, they're just like kind of whatever. Nobody's got an evil plan except for Guy Pearce. And he is part of the hero's journey, weirdly.
There's the one, the guy that's the one guy that's like a dick through the whole movie. Who ends up with those extra couple arms?
Yes.
Yeah, the forklift arms, yeah.
The guy who does a snot rocket?
Yes!
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yes!
Oh, it was
I
so
saw that.
Weird.
I had that in my notes, too. I was like,
ew.
He was like, let me go again. I got an idea for something.
Yeah.
You know, like he blows a snot rocket in the middle of a fight.
But by the way, that end fight scene, there was something so crazy about that because they say like, oh, let's see him survive that. I'm like, you guys work here. You know he will survive it. That's the thing. He is unkillable.
Well, okay, like, so that's why I didn't understand, like, why is Guy Pearce even pulling out a gun on him at the end?
Exactly. Well, because he's waiting for the nanobites to go to zero, and then he can kill him.
Then shoot him.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
But then it happens, and it doesn't kill him.
But he should just have an EMP ready to go at any given notice because he could just shut him down.
He's also got like the shutdown button in his robot arm. Is that the only shutdown button? Oh,
can I just say my favorite part in this whole movie was when Vin Diesel is like first waking up and he's connecting to Guy Pearce, who I really do like in this movie. Guy Pearce is always good.
Yeah, he's great.
But Vin Diesel just like touches his arm, like touches his robot arm. Like, so imagine like getting up. And then, like, someone's, like, talking to you, and you just automatically, like, he just, like, grabs this guy's robot arm. It felt like such a aggressive move to, like, it's almost like touching someone's prosthetic. Like, well, what's that? Like, it was so bizarre to me.
Yeah, it's odd.
Just to me, it's just an odd first reaction. Oh, boy. Obviously, we had opinions about this movie, but there are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
Was a piece of shit, yet this person recommends it. Tell me, what is the message? Maybe that art is subjective. I need a second opinion.
Thank you, John LaJoie. These are second opinions culled from Amazon. Because this movie is out for purchase right now, there are a lot of Amazon reviews. There are 713 reviews for this movie, which is a record. That is big. Let's see. 60% are 5-star reviews. 60%.
Wow.
And I'll just get into some of these. And there's one really funny thing that we'll get into, a funny thread. This is from an Amazon customer, no name here. And the title is Really Good, Good Start to a New Comic Book Universe on Screen. Goes, I love Bloodshot and KT as partners, but whoa, the chemistry between KT and Dalton, that needs to be explored. So
who's
that
Dalton?
Was somebody.
Who's Dalton?
Yeah, who's Dalton?
I believe Dalton is Guy Pearce. Oh, no. Dalton is Robot Legs Man.
Oh, is that Sam Claflin?
Sam, is it?
No.
Sam Heughan.
Oh.
H-E-U-G-H-A-N. Sam Heughan?
Okay, okay, okay. Different. Okay, okay.
Different Sam. Yeah. All right, so this one is written by R. Eastweiler, and R. Eastweiler writes, definitely worth a few rewatches to catch all the little details you miss. 5 out of 5 stars. And then I don't think there's that many little details. This is, all right, I love the, these are all pretty simple, but Sean Wegspack writes, best special effects I have seen since Marvel Endgame. First of all, Marvel Endgame is not necessarily the title, but these are not on par with Avengers Endgame.
It was also not that long ago, so there hasn't been that many comic book movies since then.
I mean, listen, I don't know special effects. I mean, I can't speak from one to the other, but I enjoyed these. You know, I enjoyed seeing the the blood get transformed into those weird little needles and go back and you know,
it's especially fun.
I enjoyed it.
Especially knowing how little money they had for stuff like this, I actually think it looks very good.
Even more of the end movies. Elevator fight where the seams are showing a little bit, it was really fun.
One of the things I loved before that elevator fight was when Robot Legs put those like weird metal leeches into his back.
I don't know what that was.
Oh, and he had that.
Did that make his arm, those other arms come out?
Oh, maybe.
Yes.
I think he was attaching himself to like, that was the action
to that apparatus. Meanwhile, he has a full back tattoo that is like a reptile skeleton. His entire back is a tattoo that looks like the Arc'teryx insignia. It's crazy.
Ruben Reyes writes this marvelous action flick, but Marvel is all capitalized. Get your diesel fix here. No one pays Vin to do rom-coms, so why are people complaining about his acting? He did great in this. The special effects are on par with a Marvel, better than Black Panther. No shade, loved it. Leading lady was beautiful, not quite plausible as a Navy SEAL. Nope, not buying it. I saw this movie as an AMC pre-screening just before the world ended in April. I left satisfied. Worth downloading for $20? 5 stars.
Wow. So really on the fence, but then not at all on the fence.
Also, this person is still going to movie theaters in April. I have questions.
Yeah. It's like a week ago.
I mean, that is recent. You should have been at home a long time ago, buddy.
We're almost on day 40 of being in home quarantine here. This is the interesting thing that Nate Kiley, who does all of our research, found out. There is a long, long bunch of reviews that are only Sam Heughan fans. That's Robot Legs. So I'm just going to jump through and just read a couple of them.
Can I ask, is he from something in particular that you know, famous? Is he like in One Direction or something?
I mean, it doesn't. Outlander. Outlander.
Oh, it's Outlander. Yes. It's 100% Outlander.
Yeah. Yes, there you go.
Outlander, which is a beloved like show, a very romantic kind of sexy sci-fi.
It's a Ronald D. Moore show that is about a woman, I believe in the 40s, who travels back in time to the 16th century to have erotic adventures and I believe introduces the idea of blowjobs to the world.
Wow.
Okay, is that right?
So this
it is that is we talked about this on the podcast Binge Mode recently, and while that is a comedic version of it, it is a story of a woman who travels through time, but it is distinctly erotic.
No, I knew that. I just didn't I wondered if it was true that like blowjobs, she invents blowjobs, like brings them from the future.
She doesn't, but they are featured prominently to people whose minds are blown, apparently.
I love Ron Moore, but I have not seen Outlander yet.
No, it's like on the cover of EW all the time. It's like one of those huge shows. Yeah. So these are all the reviews. It's like, this one is this 5 out of 5 stars. Sam Heughan is in it. And then the review is, that's all you need to know. # Hooligans. Then it was like, this one is called 5 stars. Sam Heughan is in it. A must see for any Sam Heughan fans. like, I want to see deleted scenes with Sam in them. I want, like, so, like, and then this one is like, this one again from Jazam. Sam Heughan is in it. Just in case no one mentioned it, Sam Heughan is an actor who is in this movie. 5 stars.
Wow.
And then, and then it's like, this one is like a cure for the quarantine blues. And yes, Sam Heughan is in this.
Oh my
5 stars. Oh, and then, yeah, it's like, it's, yeah, quarantine Sam Heughan time. Like it is a ridiculous amount of Sam Heughan fans.
I love the idea of Outlander fans watching this movie just to get their Sam Heughan fix. That's very funny.
I know. So this movie obviously came out right at the start of the spread of coronavirus, especially here in the States. It made $32,000 internationally. $32,000. Yeah, and the opening weekend for this film was $9 million. $9 million. But that, you know, it's a tricky weekend because it was like really the last weekend that movie theaters were open. You know, it just came out. The taglines are pretty great. Being a hero is in his blood, and this is another great
but
one.
But it's not in his blood.
No.
Because I would argue he's maybe not a hero.
Being a murderer is in his blood.
But someone put that in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not in his blood. It's not his blood.
Yeah. No, it's not his blood.
It's not his blood.
The other tagline is also problematic. You don't need a past to have a future. But I would argue, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he doesn't even seem curious about what his past was.
At all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He finds out it's all a fraud and then just kind of moves on.
He's like, let me drive this truck out of here. He literally wakes up out of a bed after being disintegrated. He goes, I'm awake. All right, cool. Walks out and then gets in the driver's seat of the truck and starts driving. He doesn't even know where they are.
Yeah. And whose truck is that? How does he have the keys to it? How does he know where he's going? Like, he drives just to an airport, gets on a plane and flies it away. I get that he's got stuff. Oh, yeah. I'm talking about the pickup truck.
I'm talking about the pickup truck at the end.
He's got powers, but they set him up as having powers that are so comprehensive. He himself would be instantly able to disassemble the plot that he is currently within.
100%.
You know what I mean? Like, it's the minute he starts looking into, he could probably look at his own fingerprints, find his own identity, and do all of the homework instantaneously.
That's right.
Yes.
He could look at Guy Pearce, probably do facial recognition, figure out who he is. Here's the thing. They create an unstoppable, vengeance-filled killing machine who's also a straight-up moron.
Yes.
Yes. He punches. Yes. He has no introspection. He punches the fucking building that he's in down. Like, he's an idiot.
He asks,
like, they picked
no
the wrong guys.
Concrete being like blasted and punched in this movie, not just in the scene where he almost topples the building he's currently in, but elsewhere. They're always like
when he punches the table. When he punches the table too. Yeah.
Come on, man.
Why
but again,
would David Byrne let them use that song?
I was wondering the same exact thing.
Could have been any song.
How did this get licensed? This is crazy.
By the way, that was like kind of the American Psycho. Like, that's the moment. That's the Huey Lewis dance right there in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
I also felt it was hard to be intimidated by a villain in a parka. Like, you know, to put on a parka, like he gets in that meat freezer and then puts on a parka.
Yeah.
All right. So, guys, would we recommend this movie? I'll just go around the horn. Adam, do you recommend the movie?
Yes, I would. It was super fun, and the twist was I thought well laid. A little kind of disappointing that they didn't make it cooler after the twist, but it was fine. I had fun.
In better hands, this is a better movie. Like, you know, like, I feel like that's like, because actually the guys who did John Wick and Deadpool, Jason, your buddies, they were going to direct this at a certain point. And that's
I've not read this comic, but I could see this being a comic book that could have been a cool world to build into. I think this version of it just got dieselized. And so it feels more like a Fast and Furious movie. It feels more like with an international team and a whole thing.
I feel like Diesel, you know, much like we're trying to do here in the States, flatten the curve. Like he takes the edges off of these movies, and it's like it's not sexy, it's not scary. It's like it's a sort of like it's just an action movie. Now that being said, I totally recommend it.
Yeah, I would recommend it too. My caveat would be,
yes.
So it is going to be for rent on May 5th.
Yeah.
So I would say wait to rent it. I don't think you need to own this movie. But when it's rentable, oh my God. If you can, because we're all under quarantine, and you listen to this podcast and you're that kind of person, get a whole bunch of your friends on the Zoom or a Skype or I don't know what the fuck. And all watch it together, even just on the phone. All That's watch fun. It together because it's a blast. This movie is fun. And so I think you would enjoy watching this with people at a time that it might take a little effort to do it with people. So
yeah. I agree with that. June?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think that it is really fun. I was really scared to watch a movie for this podcast during these times. And this gave me a lift, you know. And again, you know, Vin is just as Vin as ever, and he's giving you everything you want from him. So,
I totally agree. It scratches
like a warm sweater.
Itch.
Yeah,
and we have to wait a little bit more to see Vin. Well, this has been fantastic, Adam. Do you have anything you want to plug? Anything you want to talk about?
I mean, I would have started shooting my new show yesterday. But here we are. So hopefully we'll get that in the can at some point, and then I can plug it. I actually have a game show coming out in June called Don't.
Whoa.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. And then
what is it?
Oh, I have a
that?
Game show coming up also in June called I Wish You Wouldn't.
That's right.
Wait, I want to know right what the premise of Don't. what's Don't?
Don't is about it's all about not doing things, getting people to like eat a ghost pepper and not drink the milk that's sitting in front of them.
Got it.
Stuff like that. Ryan Reynolds created it, and I'm the host of it. It'll be on ABC. And
Whoa,
it's really
Adam,
fun.
Look at that. I love that. June, I know you're doing something really cool right now with Jane Club. Can you talk about that a little bit too?
Absolutely. So, you know, the workspace in LA is closed with the stay-at-home LA orders, but we have moved the entire experience online to our digital membership, which is called the Connected Jane. And it's been so fantastic and rewarding. And I feel like for so many women who are out there right now, working on their professional lives and also taking care of kids at home, and really any parent and anyone who just is craving that kind of connection and community right now, it's been really special and wonderful. So the programming ranges from fitness classes to teach-ins on all sorts of different subjects, to book clubs, to meditation, and it's just a really full program and slate and day. And I would encourage anyone who's out there who might need a real village of resources around them right now to check it out at janeclub.com. And the How Did This Get Made listeners, if they type in under the referral code Insider Jane, and can get $25 off of their first month.
Awesome.
That is awesome.
Jane Club's so cool.
Thank you.
I love it. And then, Jason, anything you want to plug?
Nothing I really want to plug. I mean, here's what I'll say. You know, there's a lot of great stuff, you know, podcasts and books to read and stuff to occupy your time. You know, there's certainly a lot of great charities to be giving to. There's certainly a lot of great work you can be doing to help combat what is an unprecedented nightmarescape that we are living in. But if you would like to, there's also, you know, we mentioned Binge Mode or Doughboys, or there's a lot of great things you can be doing. I've really been watching shows that make me laugh, things that really take my mind off of it a little bit, especially late at night when I'm having trouble sleeping. I just watched all of Comedy Central's Detroiters, which is...
oh, it's so good.
Sam so Richardson and Tim Robinson's show that had two seasons and is so funny. Tim Robinson also did the sketch show I Think You Should Leave on Netflix that I think was terrific.
Hilarious.
So there's lots of really good... Matt Berry from Toast of London and IT Crowd has a new show on IFC called Year of the Rabbit that I thought was very funny. I just watched all of Schitt's Creek. Who knew? Ooh, so fun.
I've been wanting
so
to
funny.
Watch that. Yeah, it's a good. Okay, I got to check that
it's
out.
It's terrific. So, you know, now's the time to like, I don't know, you know, do what work you can do, help how you can help. Thank you to everybody who is out there on the front lines of this thing, medical professionals, first responders, anybody who is
delivery
out there.
Delivery drivers, school teachers who are teaching from home.
Exactly.
So many people doing things and challenging the way that they have to do their jobs. I'm blown away by it.
And all of us who watched Bloodshot tonight and are also offering our
thanks,
our
you guys.
I was going to say, we are also heroes. We are also heroes.
You know what? I have one other show that you mentioned, Logan Marshall Green, and it reminded me of his show, Quarry, a Cinemax show. Any of you seen Quarry?
Yeah, I watched it early on, and I didn't
follow
through.
It was terrific.
Was it good? Okay.
It's worth following through. It was just one season they were done.
He looks alarmingly like Tom Hardy.
Yeah, he truly does.
By the way, Tom Hardy and Capone looks amazing.
Oh, I didn't even see that. That's great.
Oh, check out that trailer.
Oh, is he playing Al Capone?
Yeah, watch that trailer. It's going to blow your mind.
Cool.
I will just say there is a lot of ways that you can get free Showtime right now to catch up on Black Monday. We are taking a brief break in our season because of coronavirus stopped our post-production, but we will be back. But you can check it all out. If you go to my Instagram page, you can see how to get free Showtime. And I've also been doing this thing. I got this like texting app thing where you actually, it's like social media, but you can text with me. It's real. It's not a charge. It's not anything weird. It's not like Fan or Cameo or anything like that. If you text me at 917-877-0657, I've been giving out like these quarantine picks of a day, whether it's a long read or a music or a movie.
And it's kind
of
it's just you send out dick pics every day during quarantine.
Yeah, they're kind of fun. I mean, different characters.
Yeah, like some of them are funny. Some of them are serious.
Yeah, some of them have a message.
Dress it up with a little like top hat and stuff.
Yeah, sometimes it'll look like Napoleon.
Like a little like Mr.
Vote for
Peanut.
Pedro. Yeah, mm-hmm. Mr. Peanut. Yeah. Sometimes it will say
And you put different Zoom backgrounds on.
Yeah, you build actual dioramas.
Yeah.
June says I should be busy parenting, but I am just having fun doing that. And
Still on my Etsy shop selling diarrhea dioramas. So if you want to go to my Etsy shop, please, please support me.
I love it. Guys, I want to give a shout out to Cody and Devin, who are silently on here, Zooming with us late night. Thank you for being with us, our super producer and our amazing engineer. Also, Nate Kiley, who did all this research for us and read through all these reviews of Bloodshot. I'll give a shout out to July and Molly, everybody here. And Nate Kiley wanted me to say that if you want to hear Nate Kiley's voice, because you've been hearing him do all this research, you can listen to him on Rounding Down talking about Frozen 2. Thank you to everybody. And a big shout out to Craig T. Nelson designing all of our amazing How Did This Get Made art, which you've been seeing on Instagram. And of course, Kyle Waldron.
Coach?
The ghost of Craig T. Nelson is his acronym. Sorry. Thank you everybody so much. And we will be back with a mini episode next week. And you could talk to us about Bloodshot and tell us what we got wrong, because you guys are big VCU fans. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, June. Thank you, Jason.
Thanks, guys.
Bye for now.